Okay, we're starting here with the two dots on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. It's not autumn. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim. Shomrei Sfichim Bishvi'it Notnim Scharam Mitshumat Alishka. Those that guard the Sfichim and Shvi'it, they take their remuneration from Shumat Alishka, which means that they get paid out of the Machatzita Shekel as part of the budget of the Mikdash. The problem that you have during Shvi'it is where you're going to bring the Omer and the Shtei Alechem from, because you don't have produce that's been grown by Hekdesh, because everybody's desisting from planting and from engaging with working the land. So you have to bring from whatever grows by itself, which is otherwise known as Svichim. Svichim are aftergrowths, things that arise from themselves, whether that's from the seeds that fell from the previous year, or whether that's from the stalks that regrow afterwards. That is what they're going to have to use for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. But then you have a secondary problem, which is that all of that is Hefker. And so anyone who wants to take it can come in and take it. So how does the Mikdash guarantee that they're going to have some sort of supply of barley and wheat for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem? That's what's being discussed here, that they have Shomrei Svichim B'Shvit. They had these guards that were placed around the fields. We're going to discuss it in more detail in a second, that stop people from coming and picking in certain areas. And those areas were designated to be the sources for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. And since their job is associated with the Mikdash and the facilitation of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, they get paid out of the budget of the Mikdash. So Rami Bar Chamal Rav Chisda, so he brought this stira. Tanan, we have the Mishnah of Shomrei Svichim B'Shvit Notlim Schara Mitshumat Alishka. V'Reminu. Then we have a problem with regards to Perot Shvi'it. By Perot Shvi'it, there's a demand, le'okhla velo l'sreifa, that the Perot Shvi'it, you're entitled to eat the Perot HaShvi'it. They are yours to be eaten, but you may not destroy them, you may not burn them. The problem you have here is with the Omer. The Omer that's brought, a kometz from the Omer goes on the Mizbeach and is burnt up. So if you're going to use Perot Shvi'it, Perot Shvi'it must be eaten, they can't be destroyed, and then putting them in his bech is a destruction of Perot Shvi'it. So Amalei, Rachmana Amar Lecha L'Dorotechem. By the Omer, it says that you do this L'Dorotechem, which means always, on a permanent basis. Va'at Amar Tibatel. So your suggestion is that on the years of Shvi'it, they're not going to bring the Omer because you have to burn part of it on the Mizbeach. Your question in of itself is problematic, because you assume that the solution would be to not bring it on that year. But that's an impossibility, because the Torah says the Dorot Echem. You have to always do it. So if you always have to do it, the Torah has already given you permission to do whatever you have to do on Shvi'it. So Amalei, Umiki Amina Ana Tibatel. Am I telling you that you actually have to desist from bringing the Omer during that year? Laiti Meshtakad. Bring it from last year's grain. So being a karmel, v'leka, you need fresh kernels. Karmel, which we learned in Parak de Rabbi Yishmael, that it requires that it be something that is fully grown, immature, and fresh. V'leiti mi karmel d'eshtakad. So bring from that which was karmel d'eshtakad last year. Which means that karmel is a designation of the grain when it is picked. So if you last year picked the grain when it was karmel, even though now it's a year later, it still was grain that was karmel when you picked it. Amar Kra, karmel takriv, says karmel, which will then be put on the mizbeach, beina karmel b'shat akrava. The karmel is not just about when it's picked at the time of ktsira, it's also at the time of hakrava, veleka, and that's missing over here. So the karmel aspect of it is what drives us to have to take it from the fresh grains of this year. And if that's the case, you can't use the previous year's grains, according to those who think that using the previous year's grains is even an option, because we saw yesterday that the author of our Mishnah thinks that Chadash is the only way you can bring it. Yashan was not an option. But we had Tanaim in the Brayta, as well as that which was brought from Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Akiva, Bidiyavad, it was brought from the Yashan, that possibly would be okay. So according to those, why can't you use last year's produce and solve all your problems with regards to Shvi'it? The answer is, it has to be Karmel. And not only Karmel at the time you're picking, but Karmel at the time that it goes on the Mizbeach, That's only possible with the chodosh, with the new grains. Right? I'm going to just take a breather here to deal with the Balei HaTosafot, which has major implications to Shvi'it v'zman hazeh. He talks about here two issues. One is the issue of Svichim. Svichim is a machloket between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan as to whether Svichim are an Iser de Rabbanan or an Iser de Oraita. Now, first of all, the definition of Svichim are things that grew on the Shvi'it from, again, we spoke about grains that were dropped, seeds that were dropped, that grew of their own on the Shvi'it. There is also Svichim, quote-unquote, that come from the Shishit. That is, things that grew by themselves or grew at the end of the Shishit and then went into the Shvi'it. Over there, there is no Iser of Svichim. Those are permitted to be eaten. They just have Kedushat Shvi'it, because the picking of vegetables or those types of items determines what year they belong to. When you pick them during the Shvi'it, they'll have Kedushat Shvi'it. They just won't have an Iser of Svichim. So that's what happens many times here, where they try to get things into the ground before the Shvi'it. Meaning 3 days before Shvi'it starts, they go, you'll see them plowing and planting away, because that avoids the problem of Svichim if things are in the ground before the Shvi'it year. If it's grown during the Shvi'it or grows by itself during the Shvi'it, then you have this problem of Svichim. Svichim is a serious issue, because if you think about a situation unlike today where we have refrigeration and we have the ability today to store on a commercial level from previous years, in those years, Svichim were a mainstay of product that people could eat during the Shvi'it. When the Rabbanan impose an Iser on Svichim, it takes away one of the main sources of food and grains during the year. They did that because of the problem of Ovrei Aveira, which is that people were literally planting on the Shvi'it and then saying it was Svichim. Now, obviously, there's no way to tell whether it was planted intentionally or unintentionally. And because of that problem, the Rabbanan entered the fray. There must have been a serious number of violations in order to do such a thing. But then it makes it very difficult on the people, because you have this issue of Svichim. And again, for the Rabbanan, Svichim are only Osur Midrabanan, whereas for Rabbi Akiva, Svichim are Osur Midoraita. That's based on the Pasuk. Sviach Kitzircha Lo Tiktzor, in Vein Yizrecha Lo Tiktzor, because it's a year of Shemitah. But most read that simply as the restriction against harvesting in the normal way that you harvest. That's how the Rabbanan read it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva reads that as being a problem of Svichim. So that's, first of all, the issue of Svichim and the Isra of Svichim. So in and of itself, that's not a problem, because we pass on like the Rabbanan, and Svichim are only Midrabanan. So for things like the Omer, there's not going to be an issue, because Midoraita, these are grains of Heter. And the Rambam makes it clear that he thinks that the Isra of Svichim only applies to Jewish fields, not to non-Jewish fields, because the whole Isra of Svichim was preventing Ovrei Aveira. But a Goy was not nitztaveh on Shvita da Karka during the Shvi'it. There's no Isra of Svichim associated with the land of the Goy. That might also have implications with regards to Heter Mechira, because it's a land of the Goy, and a Jew is working it. Does that then have the status of a land of a Goy? If that's the case, then there's no Isra Svichim.
But if they actually do plant it on Shvi'it, and you believe that a Jew working on a non-Jew's field in Eretz Yisrael, or that the Heter Mechira fails, and therefore it's a Jew working the land during Shvi'it, then what is planted there for Heter Mechira would get a status of Svichim, and that would present the problem for the produce of Heter Mechira again for those that don't hold of Heter Mechira.
Although today they avoid most of that problem by planting everything before the Shvi'it, even in the fields of Heter Mechira, and therefore you don't even bump into the problem of Svichim, because it was all planted in the sixth year and growing on the seventh year. The problem you have is the Shmirah, which is one of the requirements on Shvi'it. Not only is not to work the land, there's another requirement, a separate issue, which is to release all the produce of your land to others to make it Hefker. You're not allowed to guard your fields. You're not allowed to block people's entry to the fields. It is a open season, free and clear. Anybody can come and take fruits, vegetables, whatever it is that are growing in the fields, anyone who has access to them. One who is Shomer Peirot Shvi'it is violating the instructions of the Torah to allow anyone who wants to come during Shemitah and eat it. So now Tosafot asks a question, and the question is really premised on a very tiny Tosafot at the end of Yevamot, that really causes major issues today. Tosfot says, how can we bring from the items that are guarded? If guarding items is problematic on Shvi'it, now you've created Isur in the Peirot. Isur in the Peirot means they can't go on the Mizbeach because there's something called Mashke Yisrael. We've seen this before. It's the Pasuk in Yechezkel, which says that only that which is Mutar to Yisrael is allowed to be placed on the Mizbeach. If you tell me that Shmirah now renders whatever is there to be problematic or Isur, and therefore Yisrael, you couldn't eat from those items, then how could you place it on the Mizbeach? And that's Tosavot's question. It's premised on the Shita of the Rebbeinu Tam, which Balei HaTosafot quote over here, it's found in Yevamot and Kuf Chaf Bet as well, which is that if you are Shomer, Peirot Shvi'it, it makes them Asurim Ba'achila. You could easily have seen, and this is the way that most Rishonim view it, that the Shmirah, Peirot Shvi'it, is an Isur. It's a restriction midoraita to guard Peirot Shvi'it. But that has no impact on the Peirot themselves. The Peirot are not Peirot of Isur. There's the Isur was that you block people's entry to the Peirot. Doesn't mean you change the status of the Peirot. The Balei HaTosafot clearly believe that if you guard the Peirot, that guarding of the Peirot and keeping them as a private property makes them into Isur. And that's why he's asking the question over here, Im Tamar Heich Omer Bamina Mishumar. How could it come from Mishumar? Be'inan Mimashke Yisrael. Or Besof Yevamot, this is the Tosfot at the end of Yevamot, Muchach, the Asur Gabei Obdei Chochavim, Sheh Mocher Peirot Bashuk, V'amar Peirot Halalu Shel Orlahim, Shel Azakehim, Shel Neter Revayim, Lo Amar Klum. So this is a statement of somebody selling fruits, and he's telling you that these fruits are Asur. Despite the fact that he's telling you that these Peirot are Asur, you're allowed to buy them from him. It's a goy saying that these are orla, these are neter revai, these are peirot that were from azekah. All of these would render the peirot to be asurim. Nevertheless, we don't listen to the goy because they're just enhancing their product. They're trying to make a sales pitch. And when he says that it's orla, he's not saying that it's really orla. He's just saying it's coming from a young sapling. It's coming from a tree that's young, not from an older tree. He doesn't really mean it's orla. One of those items is ozek or azeka. And the question is, what does that mean that it is azeka? So he says, operisha kuntris v'shem rabutav, that shel azeka, hein mi parzdeis, mi ozek v'gadar lan saviv. That means that it had some sort of stone fence or some sort of perimeter that blocked it, v'hi shnat shvi'it. And that was the shvi'it. So there, the implications of the Gemara were, the Goy is saying this, which would mean that if we really believed him, it would be Asur. So now those are Peirot Shvi'it that are guarded. They were blocked off by a fence. And the Gemara is saying, had it not been for the fact we don't believe this Goy, they would have been Asurim. So that indicates that these are Asurim. So then, Ve'ikshra Kuntris. Rashi over there says, Ma Isur Yeshkan. Rashi is perplexed. Because you're Shomer the Peirot Shvi'it, what Isur is there? If it passed the time where you have to eliminate or rid yourself of Peirot Shvi'it, loshna mina mishumar, loshna mina mufkar, asurim. Why do you have to guard them? Even if they're not guarded, they're problematic. It's a time-bound problem, and has nothing to do with guarding them. V'kodem azman, elu ve'elu mutarim. Rashi says, before that time period, both of them are mutarim. V'perish d'hai azeka, shem ir sheb'eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he rejects the explanation of his rebbeim and says that this is a reference not to a guarded field, but rather a specific location in Eretz Yisrael. I'm assuming that he's referencing to Tel Azekah. Here are the quotes from a pasuk in Yoshua about Azekah, but it's also mentioned in Shmuel Aleph with regards to the battle between David and Goliath, which is right outside of Beit Shemesh. There's Tel Azekah, and that might be what the reference is to over here. And supposedly they were excellent fruits from that area. And the chashash was that they belonged to Jews. And there was in Trumot Masrot taken off of them that they were Tevel. And this guy is saying they're from Azekah, which would imply that they were Jewish-owned fruits. So we don't believe him to say that they are Tevel. That's how Rashi avoids the old problem. Oli oroch perush shel Azekah perot shvi'it shenechreshu bishvi'it. These are perot shvi'it where the area or the land was plowed on shvi'it. So he's saying it's not from a field that wasn't plowed, but rather from a field that was plowed. But Rabbeinu Tam Mikayim Perish Rabotav. Rabbeinu Tam is Mikayim the Perish the Rabotav Shorashi. The Azekah Lashon Gader. That Azekah means a fence, means a wall around it, guarding it. Based on that sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfot says, the Gemara is saying, had it not been for the fact we don't believe this guy, they would have been Asurim. So that indicates that these are Asurim, and that's the proof of the Balei Tosafot, the Rabbeinu Tam, that if you guard Perot Shvi'it, that they are problematic. So then Tosfot in the end says, Vimken Hecha Shar Yahocha Lavi Omer Misfichim Mishumarim. Tosfot says, if you're Shomer the Perot Shvi'it over here, how can you ever put them on the Mizbeach? Yesh lomar, dimi, de oraita, bitzira davka asur, aval ba'achila shori. So one way the Balei Tosafot deal with it is to say that mi de oraita, the only restriction is bitzira. If you actually are botzer them when you have them in this locked up position or private position, that's the Isur, is actually doing the harvesting or harvesting when you mishumar, but they're not asurim ba'achila. They might be asur b'drabanan, but midoraita, they're not asurim. That's one possibility. But the odiyesh lefaresh, the other possibility is the shomrei svichim da'ocha, lo yemonim b'nei adam likach. The guys who were guarding it didn't stop people. They weren't bouncers. They weren't protecting the peirot. They would just inform the people, these are going to be used for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem. And so they would hope that the people would listen and not take, but they wouldn't prevent people from taking it. So it's a different type of Shmirah. It's not a Shmirah in the sense of blocking access to people. It's simply an informative type of Shmirah. And in that case, it wouldn't be a problem. Inami, Tziracha, V'nizirecha, Marachmana. The third answer of the Tosafot is that it says, the restriction is Ktzircha and Nizirecha. Amar Rachmana, didachin velo shel hekdesh. The same way that we do this by Ktzira. We say that Ktzirat Omer is mutar on Shvi'it is because Ktzircha is asur, not Ktzirat hekdesh. So too, with regards to these peirot being restricted, it's only in Ktzircha and Nizirecha that are asurim. It is not that of hekdesh that is asurim, and therefore Mishumar of hekdesh would not be asurim. Tosafot then ends off dealing with Rabbi Kiva's Shita, that Svichim are asur deoraita. How do you bring Svichim as the Korbanei HaOmer? Over there he says that's not a problem, because every year they're not from Mashke Yisrael, because every year when you bring the Chodosh as the Omer, the Chodosh is yet to be Mutar. So by definition, the grains that you are bringing are grains that are problematic because of the fact that they're not Mutar yet. And so he says that adding on the Yisra Svichim is not such a big deal. Right, that's always an aside to our Gemara over here, but it's all premised on the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, the sheet of the Tosfot, that Mishumar is Asur, not just Asur to do the Shmirah, it renders the Peirot Asurim. Why is that so important? Because that has ramifications today with regards to Heter Mechira. If you subscribe to Heter Mechira, there is no problem. But if you believe that Heter Mechira doesn't work, then for people who do not hold of Heter Mechira, generally the poskim believe that you can eat the produce of Heter Mechira. There's no inherent isur in the peirot of Heter Mechira. But that could be problematic according to the Balei Tosafot. According to the Balei Tosafot, if Heter Mechira fails, like the Chazon Ish says, that it's an ein shliach d'dvar aveira, you can't create the sales of Heter Mechira, they're inherently pasul, and therefore this Mechira never went through. The Mechira never happened. Well, if the Mechira never happens, and now the farmer is treating the field like his field, and is Mishumar, basically he's guarding the field, treats it like private property, you now have what's called Mishumar according to the Balei Tosafot. And that means that Fia Balei Tosafot, according to those that think that Heter Mechira doesn't work, you render the payroll to be Asurim. Asurim mi do'oraita according to the Balei Tosafot. One of the three or four answers he gave here said it was the Rabbana. But according to the other three answers, he thinks that it's d'oraita, the problem of Shmirat Peirot. And therefore that presents a problem if you think that Heter Mechira fails. So most poskim, again, say that with the Heter Mechira, even if you may not subscribe to it, it doesn't render the Peirot inherently asur. So that means that people who are invited over to others who eat Heter Mechira, that in it itself should not be problematic because you could eat the Peirot. The Peirot themselves are not asurim. But that's not necessarily true, because the Balei Tosafot believe that Mishumar is Asur, d'oraita, and if you feel that Heter Mechira doesn't work, then you have a problem Mishumar, according to the Balei Tosafot, And that's why it presents a very serious problem in terms of Heter Mechira and Perot Shvit, especially for those that don't think that Heter Mechira works. Because according to most, again, it would have been not a problem to eat those Perot, even though they don't subscribe to the methodology. But this Baal HaTosafot would actually render the whole process problematic and make the Perot into Perot of Isur. The Safek, you're right, is a Psak Halacha. Almost all the other Rishonim disagree, including Rashi with the Baal HaTosafot, who think that Shmirat Perot Shvit does not create an Isur. So again, it's all a chashash because of this Baal HaTosafot, but according to Baal HaTosafot, it's a chashash deoraita. Obviously today, where Shemitah is only the Rabbanan anyway, you have more latitude to work with it. But it's a serious issue, according to the Baal HaTosafot, and therefore, just this small issue here, it's a much smaller Tosafot than Yuvamot, that's where everybody quotes it from, but it creates serious ramifications in terms of Heter Mechira. Alright, so now, Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Carmel Takriv. There is a requirement that it be put on the Mizbeach as Carmel. Rabbi Lozo Omer, Reshit Kitzircha. Reshit Kitzircha, Velof Sof Kitzircha. It has to be the beginning of the Kitzira, meaning the beginning of the harvest, not the end of the harvest. If you bring stuff from last year, even though it was harvested early, at this point it's the end of last year's harvest, it's not the beginning of this year's harvest. So what they're arguing about is, what is the failure in bringing items from last year? Rabbi Yochanan says the failure is Carmel Takriv, that it has to be not only Carmel when you pick it, it has to be Carmel when it goes on the Mizbeach. Belozer says that the problem is it has to be Reshit Kitzircha. It's only Reshit Kitzircha if it's from the new grain, it's not Reshit Kitzircha if it's from the old grain. Motiv Rabba. Bim Takriv Minchat Bikurim LaHashem, Aviv, Kaloi Ba'esh, Geres, Carmel, Takriv, et Minchat Bikurecha. So this is the Minchat Bikurim that is found in Perek Bet in Vayikra, we're speaking about the Menachot, and we're going to see in a second, it's a reference to the Minchat HaOmer, and therefore we have the requirements, which we discussed again earlier in the Masechta. The requirements of the Omer must be Aviv, that it has to be from the new grains that are mature, Kaloi Ba'esh, it has to be roasted in the fire, which we discussed in Machloket about how that works, Geres, it has to be made into a fine solet, Carmel, which again we discussed, which is Carmale, that it has to be fully mature, it has to be moist, Takriv et Minchat Bikurecha. That's the making of the Minchat Omer. And this is what's being quoted in the bright over here, that is the question that Rabba poses. Integrate Minchat Bikurim, Minchat Omer HaKatub Midaber, Mehechan Hiba'a. Where does it come from? Minasarim, does it come from the barley? Again, which is what the Minchat Omer comes from. Again, this is classic style of a Tanaic work, which is it gives you the answer up front, then it backs away and says, are you sure that's the answer? Maybe it could have been something else, and then it brings you back. Ata Omer min atzorim, onel min achitim. So again, it states the facts up front. It thinks it's Minchat Omer, and it thinks it comes from barley. Then the Braita backs away and says, are you so sure it comes from barley? Maybe it comes from chitin. So again, we saw this earlier in Masechta back on Daf Samechet. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Aviv b'Mitzrayim, b'Nemar Aviv l'dorot. The pasuk that we just read has the word Aviv in it. The word Aviv is also brought in Makat Barad in Mitzrayim, which says that the items that were destroyed were the Se'orim and the Pishtan, because they were Aviv. They were early grains. They're things that rise early. Whereas the Chitan, the Kusemet, which are late growers, they were too soft so that the Barad did not destroy them. But you see there that Aviv is a reference to the barley maturation, the harvest of the barley when it's already in its stalks. So there, Ma Aviv Amur B'Mitzrayim Se'orim, the reference of Aviv over there is to barley. Af Aviv Amur L'Dorot in Ubala Minisorim. So to the Aviv that's mentioned here in the Omer is also the Se'orim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva has a different source for it. Matzino Yachid Shemevi Chobato Min Achitin Umevi Chobato Min Se'orim. Individuals have Korbanei Mincha that come from wheat, and Korbanei Mincha that come from Se'orim, that come from barley. All the Minachot of a Yachid come from wheat, with the exception of one, which is the Minchat Kinaot, the Minchat Sota, that comes from barley. But there are manifestations of wheat and barley by the Minchat HaYachid. V'av Tzibur mevi chobotu min achitim, mevi chobotu min aseorim. The Tzibur also brings from wheat, and it brings from barley. Now, as far as wheat is concerned, we find definitely items. There's no Minchat HaTzibur, but there is the Shtei HaLechem, there is the Lechem HaPanim, the Minchat Nisachim, everything like that comes from a wheat product. So now, that is in terms of chobato min a wheat, or chobato from wheat. Mevi chobato min a sorim, where do we ever find that the tzibor brings a korbanat tzibor that comes from barley? Imata omer min a chitin, if you say the korbanat omer comes from wheat, lo matzinu tzibor shemevi chobato min a sorim, then that parallel does not exist, and the tzibor never brings a korban chova from the sorim. So that must mean that the korban omer is from sorim, therefore, you have a manifestation of mincha by the yachid in chitin and sorim, manifestation by the tzibor of chitim and sorim. Now, Rabbi Kiva must have had some misora like that, because it's almost a backwards logic. It's saying, oh, we have chitim and sorim by yachid, chitim and sorim by tzibor. Where do we find sorim? Must be the omer. But how did you know that there was, by the tzibor, chitim and sorim? So that must have been the misora, that there were these parallel structures in the yachid and the tzibor. And then, once you know that, you have to say, the only thing left over to say that could come from barley is the omer. Davar acher. Imata omer. Omer ba min achitin. If you say that omer comes from wheat, ein shtei lechem bikurim, then you have a problem, because there's a requirement that the shtei lechem be bikurim, be the first. Well, if the omer is from wheat, then the shtei lechem that come on Shavuot are not the first wheat that ends up on the mizbech. They're not the first items that are brought into the Mikdash of that type. You already did that by the Omer. Alma, Mishum Bikurim Hu. The reason over here is Bikurim. That's the question. Who is this question on? So if you look in Miuchas, the Rashi says, V'tuyufta de Rav Yochanan. The Gemara says, Tuyufta here, it's a strong refutation of Rav Yochanan's position. It says, for the fact that it says Carmel prevents you from bringing from the older stuff, and the newer stuff has to be brought because it says Carmel to Kriv. Over here, the Gemara says that it has to do with Bikurim. Bikurim tells you that it's got to be the first stuff or the newer stuff. Therefore, it's more akin to what Rabbi Elazar says, that Reshit Ketzir Cha. It's got to be the first grains or the first harvest. So that's the way Miuchas the Rashi reads. And the Rashi and Taviyad says, the time of the Shtei Melechem Mishum Bikurim. The reason behind the Shtei Melechem is Bikurim. Have the bikurim beina. We require bikurim. V'hu adin laomer. Dirakti beinami bikurim. Because the word bikurim is also used over there. V'hainu k'Rabbi Elazar. That's like Rabbi Elazar. V'kashu l'Rabbi Yochanan. It's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. So both Miuchas Rashi and Rashi and the Ketav Yad believe the questions on Rabbi Yochanan and not on Rabbi Elazar, and it's a tiyufta. The Balei HaTosafot over here, the last Balei HaTosafot over here say, kach perish bakuntris, benira the tavayu parich. He says, I think it's a question both on Rabbi Yochanan and on Rabbi Elazar. Da Rabbi Elazar perish time mishum dechtev reshit kitzircha v'lo sof kitzircha. So he has a different reason also. They're both bringing reasons that have nothing to do with Bikurim. They have to do with kitzircha. They have to do with Carmel. It's not the same reason. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot believe the question here is both on Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Bim tomar umay time av tiyufta. Why is it a tiyufta? Why is it a refutation of their position? Lema dechada mitzvah, dechada akev. You could say that there are actually two sources. One source teaches you the lechatchila should be done this way. The second source teaches you it would be me'akev. And it must be from that item. Beish lamar, detrei bikurim tiv. The word bikurim appears twice already, and therefore I don't need these additional limudim, whether it's reshit kitzircha or kormel, I don't need those to teach me that it must be from the chodesh, and it can't be from the older grains. Now, what's interesting over here is the usage of the term tiyufta. Tiyufta is usually when we have a position, and then the position is undermined and refuted, and we say this is a strong refutation of the position. Over here, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan are not taking a position that's in opposition to what is being said here in the Braita. It's simply a question of a limud, of a source. So it's an interesting usage of the term tiyufta over here. Generally, we see tiyufta when we're speaking about an opposing position or an halachic position. Over here, it's not really a halachic position, it's a source. And they're saying it's a tiyufta against them sourcing it from there, but rather the source is bikurim and not Carmel Tokiv or Reshit Kitzircha. Alright, it's not autom. They have a Mishnah in bikurim. Ein mevi'in bikurim chutz mishivat aminim. Bikurim only come from the Shivat Aminim. Velo mitmarim shibaharim. So now, this is one of the Shivat Aminim. Tmarim, which are the dvash in the pasuk of the Shivat Aminim, references the dvash tmarim. So tmarim are part of the Shivat Aminim, yet you may not bring them from the Tamarim, the dates that are grown on the mountains, on the high places, below me perot shebamakim, and not from fruits that are grown in the valleys. V'amar ula, imhevi lo kidesh. If you bring these items, they are considered to be subpar, and they're not nitkadesh, meaning that they do not become bikurim. It's not just a lechatchila item. This is even bidiavad, that which you bring from these are considered to be subpar, to the point where even bidiavad, they do not become bikurim. Yotiv Rabba, b'kamer lahashmaitita. So Rabba was sitting, saying over this memra of Ula. Eitave Rabacha Rabba, the Rabba. So Rabacha Rabba asked Rabba, Kurban Reshit. The psukim here in Vayikra Bet speak about a Kurban Reshit. The psukim beforehand say, Ko mincha, asher tegvil Hashem, lo taseh chametz. You can't make it out of chametz. V'chol sor, v'chol dvash, lo tekiru mimenu yishel Hashem. Sor and Devash cannot end up on the Mizbeach. Kurban Reshit Takrivo Otam LaHashem. But they are brought as a Kurban Reshit to Hashem. Well, Mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. Even though they're brought as a Kurban Reshit, they don't end up on the Mizbeach. The reference, and this is what the question is going to be, of Kurban Reshit is to two items that are brought into the Mikdash Reshit. Reshit are the Shtei Lechem, which are the first of the wheat that is brought in the Mikdash. As we've learned already, the Shtei Lechem don't end up on the Mizbeach. The Kvasim end up on the Mizbeach, but the Shtei Lechem are eaten by the Kohanim. But that is Chametz that is brought into the Mikdash. That's one Kurban Reshit. There's another Kurban Reshit, which are the Bikurim that are brought up. The first fruits that are brought into Mikdash, included in those fruits are, quote-unquote, Devash. Devash either could be Devash Tamarim, or it could be the Mitikut Peirot. Many believe that the restriction here against putting Dvash on the Mizbeach is not just honey, literally, but it is anything that is sweet, or even, we'll call it sugar from fruits that are sweet, you can't put on the Mizbeach. So that would include all of the Bikurim, but there is a demand of Reshit. You bring the first Bikurim up to the Mikdash. So now, that's what the Gemara is quoting over here. Korban Reshit, Shedei Reshit Dechol HaMinachot. That has to be the first of all Minachot. V'chein Hu Omer, Ba'akrivchem mincha chadasha la'Hashem b'Shavuotechem. The Korbanei Musaf of Shavuot, it says there that when you bring the mincha chadasha la'Hashem b'Shavuotechem on Shavuot, ein li ela chadasha shel chitim. It has to be the newest one of wheat. Chadasha shel si'orim minayin. The new one of barley, where do I know that from? Tamalomar chadasha chadasha. It has the word chadasha twice. Once by the psukim in Parshat Pinchas, and once by the psukim in Parshat Emor. He crafted them mincha chadasha l'Hashem. So the word chadasha appears twice. It's not going to teach you that this has got to be the first mincha of wheat. It also has to be the first mincha of se'urim in the Mikdash. Over here, it's just interesting. Rashi in the Ketav Yad says something that's very controversial. He says over here, when the Braita suggests over here that chadasha means it has to be the first of wheat, that's a reference to the Shtei Lechem. When it says that chadasha has to be the first of the barley, that's a reference to the Omer. And he says over here, Minchata Omer, Haba'as Orim, Me Nayin Shtei Kodemet L'Sorim. How do we know that's got to be the first barley? Shalotei Mincha Misorim Kodemla. That there is no Minchat Se'orim that comes before it. It's very difficult for a number of reasons, one of which is, the word chadasha, chadasha appears by the Shtei Lechem, not by the Omer. Right, the Dazem, im enu li inyan. If it's not for this, use it for that. But they only say that with regards to wheat, to barley. They don't say im enu inyan the Shtei Lechem, make it for the Omer. But Rashi in the Ketav Yad says this is a reference to the Omer. The simpler explanation, and that's what you find in the Yuchas, the Rashi, is that the Shtei Lechem have to be the first. That means they have to be the first both for the wheat and the barley that comes in the Mikdash. That means that between the Minchat Omer that is brought on Pesach and the Shtei Lechem that are brought on Shavuot, you're going to have no Minachot that are brought from the new Tvuah. That means both from the new Tvuah of Chitim as well as the new Tvuah of barley. They can't be brought. There's actually a window of time in which it probably would be difficult to bring Minachot unless you were bringing from the older grains. But even the older grains might be problematic because it's supposed to be the first of this season on the Mizbeach. So there actually is a window between Pesach and Shavuot where maybe there was a limited number of menachot that were brought or they weren't brought. It also happens to be the harvest time, so nobody was around. It might have been such a big deal, but that would be the implications here that the Shtei Lechem have to be the first mincha, both for Chitin and for Seorim. And that's the way that most read it, unlike the Rashi and the Ktav Yad over here. Uminayin Shtei Kodem Le Bikurim. How do you know that the Shtei Lechem have to precede the Bikurim? Meaning that the right to bring Bikurim to the Mikdash only starts on Shavuot. How can you know that you can't bring Bikurim prior to Shavuot? So the Braita phrases it this way. How do you know that Shtei Lechem have to come before the Bikurim? Well, if Shtei Lechem come on Shavuot, that implies that you can't bring Bikurim before Shavuot. Tamal Ogmar, where it says in Parshat Kitisa, V'chag Shavuot, Taseh Locha Bikurei Ketzir Chitim, V'chag Asif Tukufa Tashana. So it says about Chag Shavuot that it is Bikurei, the beginning, the first of the Ketzir Chitim, Enuela Bikurei Ketzir Chitim. It's only the first of the harvest of the Chitim. Tzir Seorim Inayin. How do I know it's also the first of the Seorim? Tamal Omar, where it says in Mishpatim, V'chag HaKatzir Bikurei Ma'asecha, Asher Tizra Basadeh, V'chag HaAsif B'tzeit HaShana Ba'aspechad Ma'asecha Min HaSadeh. These are the psukim that are found in Sefer Shmot that describe the Shlosh Regalim. The first one we quoted was from Parshat Kitisa, where it mentions the three Regalim. The Parshia in Kitisa is almost an identical copy of the Parshia that is found in Shmot Chav Gimel, which is Parshat Mishpatim, where the first time the Shlosh Regalim are mentioned is in Parshat Mishpatim. So we quoted Kitisa that says, Bikurei Ketzir Chitim. And again, between Kitisa and Mishpatim, there are slight nuanced differences, which are important to be omed on, and that's what the Gemara is noting here, that the Chag HaKatzir, Bikurei Masecha, is Asher Tizra Basadeh. Uses a different terminology. It doesn't call it Ketzir Chitim, it calls it Tizra Basadeh, that which is planted in the field. So, Ein Le'alash Tizra. That's only if you planted it. Alume Elehen, if they grew by themselves, how do I know also they can't come before the Shtei Lechem, Inayim? Tamalomar Basadeh, anything in the field. Ein Le'ela Basadeh. That's only true of items that are found out in the field. Minayin Rabot Shebegag, things that grow on the roof. Shebechurva, that grew in an area, a desolated area where there were old buildings. Shebeatzit, or that grew in a pot. Ushebespina, or grew in a boat. Tamalomar, where it says in Parshat Korach, Bikurei kol asher be'artzam, asher yavil la'ashem, l'cho yiyeh. Kol tahor beveitcha yochlenu. In Korach, when it's speaking about that which goes to the Kohanim, over there it says, Bikurei kol asher batzam, the Bikurim of anything that is found in the land. That means that anything new that is grown can't precede the Shtei Lechem. So now we've included Chitim, Seorim. Now with the catch-all phrase, we've included these other locations, which are going to become the primary problem over here, are these other locations which are clearly not your primary locations to bring these items from, they're also subsumed in this Isor of bringing them before Shtei Lechem. Minayin Shedei Kodemet L'Nisachim Uperot Ailan. How do I know that it's also before the Nisachim? Now we're speaking about the Nischeyayin. We're speaking about the Shemen that's brought and the Perot Ailan, which are part of the Bikurim. Nemarkan Bikurei Ma'asecha. Again, the Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim says Bikurei Ma'asecha. Benerla Halan, and it says also there in Parshat Mishpatim, Ba'as Bechad Ma'asecha Min HaSadeh, when you gather in your produce from the fields, Malalan Nisachim Uperot Ilan, just like over there, we're speaking about fruits and the Nisachim Yayin, Avkan Nisachim Uperot Ilan. So to over here, it's also speaking about Perot, Nisachim and the Perot Ilan. As Miuchas Rashi notes over here, because it says over there, Basuchat Masecha Min HaSadeh, Kol Masecha, and also Votozman Masvin Yainu Perot Ailan. It also happens to be the time period in which you bring in those things from the field. So just like by the time period of Sukkot, where they're bringing in the things from the field, it's a reference to all these items, the Perot Ailan, and to the Yain as well. So too by Shavuot, when it speaks about Masecha, the Masecha also is a reference to Perot Ailan and the Yain. So that means that the Shtei Lechem is really a demarcation point in the Mikdash, which delineates the point from which all the new items can start to be brought. The new fruits, the new yayin, the new grains, that's both wheat, barley, it's a cutoff for all of these items. That's what the Braita just taught us. So now here, finally, we get to the question. That was a long Braita, but now we're back in. What was the question? Shibagag, Shibachurva, Shibatzitz, or Shibisfina. All of these items are areas where we would not ask you to bring them from. And more importantly, we wouldn't consider them to be perot ha'aretz. Perot ha'aretz are things that grow on the ground, that grow on the land. So now all of these are not classified as things that grow on the ground. The only one that might be somewhat questionable is bechurva and maybe begav. It's not clear here whether those are or not. It's not clear whether the question is from all four of the items, or only from the latter two items, which is that tzitz grown in a pot clearly is not growing on the ground. And sfina is something that is not on the ground as well. Now, if you're bringing from the perot ha'aretz, which is the shivat aminim perot ha'aretz, then why are these restricted from coming before shtei alechem? They're not classified as bikurim. So the question on Ula is, tmarim shibaharim. The dates that are found on the mountains, they are much more considered to be perot ha'aretz than the sfina and the atzitz. And Ula says, oh, if you bring those, loki deish, they don't work. Yet the Braita clearly indicates that these are forms of bikurim that are restricted from being brought before shtei alechem, which means that they are classified as bikurim. So if they're classified as bikurim, how can Ula, where you have something growing on the Eretz Yisrael, that is a tamar, in a subpar location, and he's telling us that's not bikurim, yet you have other items that are not even growing on the ground here, and they're considering them bikurim? My answer is seifa atan leminachot. Seifa is a reference to the areas that you source minachot from. So it's not about bikurim. They would fail as bikurim, but they're good enough to bring the minachot from. And again, the shtei alechem is the first of a minachot that are brought in the Mikdash. And so these items are also prevented from being brought before the shtei alechem, not because they are bikurim, but because they are ra'oy the mincha, or they can be used for minachot. Miuchas the Rashi explains this in one of two ways. He says that either atan minachot, the one answer that he brings is the way that we explained it, that this is a reference to items that you source menachot from and not source bikurim from. Then he brings an Indian acher, another way to explain it is safat sefer the craw atan the menachot. The latter part of the pasuk, where we brought the source from, mechol asher ba'artzam, is not a reference to the bikurim, but rather a reference to the menachot. So that the Gzer Shabbat to Bikurim, Bikurim is not about that these are Bikurim and these are Bikurim, but rather it's going to teach you that the Shtei Alechem is the reference point in these two areas, because Bikurim Ktzir Chitim is the Shtei Alechem. So the Bikurim here are also the Shtei Alechem, but a Kol Asher Ba'artzam is not about Bikurim, that's about Minachot. And therefore it's about the Droshet of Pasuk, not about the actual items themselves being Minachot. Alright, so now, Gemara says, Matkif la Rav Adarbava, Ihochi, Hainu Dichtiv, what are you gonna do with the Kol Tor Bebeitcha Yochlenu? Anybody who is Tor in your household can eat them. Ve'im Enachot, V'zichrei Kehuna O Demitachlan. The Pasuk quoted as the proof text for the fact that these items can be brought is Bikurei Kol Asher Ba'atzam, Asher Ve'il Hashem Lechayeh, Kol Tor Bebeitcha Yochlenu. That pasuk that starts out with what we quoted as the proof text for that they are brought ends with kol tor beveitcha yochlenu. So how could that be a reference to minachot? The minachot are kodshei kodeshim and they're only eaten by zikrei kuhuna. Makes it sound like that the pasuk speaking about bikurim and not about minachot. Bikurim are available to the kohanim and to their entire family to be eaten. So if the Braita is speaking about bikurim, then that line makes sense. Kol tor beveitcha yochlenu means that anyone who is part of your family or part of the Kohen's family has the right to consume these items. But if you're telling me now all of a sudden they have menachot, menachot are kodshei kodoshim, and are only eaten by zichrei kuhuna, so then how can you make a claim that anyone in the family can eat them? So Amar Rav Misharshia, trei krai k'tivei. There are two psukim. One pasuk says, l'chayyeh, uchtiv kol tahor beveitcha yochlenu. Where it says in Parshat Korach, Bikurei kol asher ba'atzam, asher yavil la'ashem, l'chayyeh, kol tahor beveitcha yochlenu. Ha'ketzad, how do you deal with that? Kan be'bikurim, kan be'minachot. One is a reference to the bikurim, and one is a reference to the minachot. So therefore you don't have a problem now. You have one that is describing the bikurim, which is kol tor bebeitecha yochlenu, anybody can partake of it, l'chayye, which seems to indicate it's only for you, the kohanim, not for your families, that's a reference to the menachot. V'vashi amar kulei b'menachot. Now the whole thing is speaking about menachot. B'seifa dekra atan l'lachmei todah. And the Sefer of the Pasuk is a reference to the Lachmei Todah. According to Rav Ashi, the entirety of this description over here was a reference to Menachot. So the Pasuk itself, which has Kol Tahor Beveitcha and as L'chayyeh, is even by Menachot. There's certain Menachot that are Kodshei Kodashim, and they're only the Zichrei Kuna. There's certain Menachot, not your typical Mincha, but the breads that come along with the Todah, that are also then available to the whole family, because they're Kodshim Kalim. So the Truma that is given from the Lachmei Todah, the 4 out of the 40 that are given to the Kohanim, are not only eaten by the Kohanim, they can even be eaten by their families. So the Pasuk in its entirety is speaking about Menachot. So at first we run into a problem, which is Kol Tor Bevecha Yochaloto, which seems to indicate that its Pasuk is speaking about Bikurim. If that's the case, then how can you claim that the end of this Braita is speaking about Menachot when it quotes the Pasuk of Bikurei Kol Asher Ba'atzam? It quotes that Pasuk from Korach, that Pasuk then continues and says, Kol Tor Bevecha Yochlenu. So then that would indicate or seem to indicate that it has to be something that can be eaten by the whole family. So the Gemara then says, no, that Pasuk is bifurcated because there are two statements in the Pasuk. There's Kol Tor Bevecha and there's L'chayyeh. Part of the Pasuk is speaking about Bikurim, part of the Pasuk is speaking about Menachot. And therefore, if you want to say Bikurim, Kol Asher Ba'atzam is a reference to Menachot, that's fine, because you have a part of the Pasuk that indicates that we're speaking about Menachot. Vashi goes on to say the whole thing is Menachot. And therefore, you can read the end of the Braita as being about Menachot, and you can read the whole Pasuk about Menachot. What about Kol Tor Beveitcha? That's a type of Mincha, which is called the Lachmei Todah. Those are breads that are brought in the Mikdash. They're not your classic Mincha. But there are mincha that is kodshim kalim, and therefore the Kol Tor Bevecha would even apply to that mincha or to that reference of the menachot. All right, so now the Gemara says beplugta. This din of ula is really a machloket amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan amar imevi lo kidesh. If you bring them, they are not kadosh. Reish Lakish amar imevi kidesh. If they does bring them, they are kadosh. Nasek kachush bekodoshim. It's the equivalent of bringing something weak into Kodoshim. If you bring a subpar behema as a korban, if the korban is brought b'diavad, it is successful at being brought. Now, it's an interesting din in terms of kachush, and generally we would discourage someone from bringing kachush. Someone brings a korban kachush on Shabbat, and they shechted it already. If the zrikat adam is yet to be done, we say to him, bring something better as a korban. So even though you've already shechted it, and it's Shabbat, and normally we would say, well, you violated Shabbat already, move along with the Korban. Despite that fact, we say, bring a better Korban. But once you hit Zrikat Adam, once you've done it already, what's done is done, and the Korban is an accepted Korban, even though it should not have been brought, because you need to bring from your best, not from your worst. We say, if you bring your worst stuff, you think that's what Hashem wants, you think that's what He's going to accept? It's a clear demand that you bring your best. But b'diavad, if you bring something that's subpar, it works. And so what Reish Lakish is pointing out is that the tamarim, shibaharim, are no different than a behema kachush for kodoshim. And so, like you were suggesting, why can't it be that b'diavad, it's okay. The chatchila, you don't bring it from there, but b'diavad, you do. Bishlamar Reish Lakish kedam rataima. Reish Lakish explains the reasoning behind his position. El Rabbi Yochanan my taima. What's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning, meaning what's Ula's reasoning, that it's even b'diavad, pasul, problematic, and you can't make it into bikurim. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan chazai b'chalom, milta maliota amino. I'll say something good. So Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Yochanan appeared to me in a dream, and the question here is, what exactly happened in the dream? Did is it that Rabbi Yochanan actually explained to Rabbi Lazar the reasoning behind his position, or is it that Rabbi Yochanan appeared to Rabbi Lazar in the dream, encouraging him to explain it? For the way that Rashi in the Taviyad says it is, V'kevan de gabra rabbi itchazeli amina milta maliota ani omer ayom. That since some great person appeared to me in a dream, I'm going to say something really good today. And that's what happened. He explained Rabbi Yochanan's position today. Or that Rabbi Lazar had explained it, and Rabbi Yochanan came to him in a dream to give him a shekoyach, that he explained it correctly. It's one of those three things. Amar Kra, It says, "V'lekachta mireshit kol pri adama asher tavi me'artzicha she'Hashem lekacha nuten lach." Samta batena v'lachta l'makom asher yivchar Hashem lekacha d'ashkein shmo sham. So in the pasuk you have mireshit, and you also have me'artzicha. Mireshit v'lo kol reshit. When it says that you bring the first of your fruits in Parshat Ki Tavoh with regards to the Bikurim, it doesn't say reshit, the first of your fruits. It says mireshit, from some of the reshit, some of the bring fruits. Me'artzecha, below kol artzecha. It says from some parts of the land, not from all parts of the land. So now, mireshit teaches you that it's only mishivat aminim, not from all the payroads. I mean, some of the first that are brought. Me'artzecha means only from some locations can you bring it. You can't bring it from all locations. And that would be that the psula, Tamarim Shibarim, or the Peirot Shibamakim, they are rejected because of Me'artzecha. Reish Lakish, Hayartzecha, Ma'avidei. Now he agrees with Mereshit that it's not all the first fruits, it's only the first fruits of the Shibat Aminim. So what does he do with Artzecha? Mibaylei Kedetanya. Rabban Gamliel, Barabi, Omer. Nemarkan Eretz, Nemarlanan Eretz. Says by the Shivat Aminim Eretz, and it says over here the word Eretz, Malalan Shvach Eretz, just like by the case of the Shivat Aminim, it means from those things that are the best of the produce of the land, Avkan Shvach Eretz. So to over here, it has to be from the best of the land. And then Rashi in the Taviyat says that once you have the Gzer Shava of Eretz Eretz, the Mireshit obviously told you that you only don't bring all the fruits. You have to bring some fruits, but didn't define for you which of the fruits you bring. And then Eretz Eretz defines for you which are those fruits that you bring. Or you're going to say Reshit Mireshit comes to teach you that even from the fruits that you're bringing, which means Shivat Aminim, you're bringing the best of those. Not all of them, but from the best of those. That means whether it's the dates in the Amakim or the dates on the Harim, whatever you're bringing from, out of that section that you're bringing it, should bring the best of those items. That's what it means, mireshit. Ve'idach, what does Rabbi Yochanan do? He needs this limud as well. Eretz, me'eretz. Because he has two limudim from there. He has artzecha, so then it'll be the gzer shava of eretz, eretz. The teach you comes from the shivat ha'yaminim. But me'eretz, the mem in front of it, says not all of the shivat ha'yaminim are going to be brought. Only some of them. V'idach eretz me'eretz lo mashmalei. Rish Lakish says that's not a limud, me'eretz. It just means me'artzecha, you bring it from your land. It doesn't mean from the land, not all the land. It means from your land. And so he doesn't have that diuk that's learned out. Rabbi Yochanan says me'artzecha gives you that additional limud as well. Tani chada, shebegag, shebechurva, shebatzit, shebesfina, mevi, vikore. We have one braita that says that if you bring the bikurim from any of these items, you bring it, and you read Parshat Bikurim, meaning that they're considered to be Artzecha, they're considered to be your land. V'tanya Yidach, we have another bright that says, Mevi Veino Koreh. You bring the Bikurim, but you don't read the Parshia of Bikurim. In the Mishnayot and Bikurim, there are three different types of Peirot that can be brought up as Bikurim. There are Peirot that you bring, V'koreh. Those are L'chatchila, the Peirot that you bring up to Mikdash or Bikurim. You bring them, and you read Parshat Bikurim. Now, reading Parshat Bikurim can be for one of two reasons. Either you're doing it in the right season, which is Zman HaSimcha, which is between Shavuot and Sukkot, or also that you're bringing the right fruits or the right items up, and that's why you're Koreh. There are status of items where maybe you bring the Bikurim, but ain't no Koreh, and you don't read it. You don't read Mikra Bikurim. Not reading Mikra Bikurim, because either you brought in a Zman, that's not Simcha, you brought it after Sukkot. Again, we already said you can't bring it before Shavuot, but after Sukkot, if you bring it then until Hanukkah time, those are peirot where you bring up the Bikurim, ve'enu koreh, you don't read it. There are also other instances in the Gemara and Bava Batra. Other places indicate maybe a ger brings peirot, ve'enu koreh, because he can't say that this is a land that you promised to our forefathers because he's a ger. So there's a shita over there that a ger is maybe ve'enu koreh. And there are other instances over there where the Gemara suggests that you bring it up, ve'enu koreh, that you don't read it. Gemara Bava Batra seems to indicate you can't read Parshiyat Mikra Bikurim if that's not demanded, if it's not correct at that time, because you're standing before Hashem, saying before Hashem, you gotta tell the truth, you gotta say things the way they're supposed to be said. So that's why ve'enu koreh, in certain instances, where you, whatever you're bringing is somewhat problematic vis-a-vis the Lashon of Mikra Bikurim, we won't let you say Mikra Bikurim.
So over here you have these four places where you bring the peirot, the bikurim from. One braita says you bring it and you read mikra bikurim, implying that that means that they are considered produce of the aretz and that they are brought fully as bikurim. You have another braita that says mevi, you bring them, ve'enu karet, and you don't read mikra bikurim, because you can't say ma'aretzachak, because you can't say they're from your land. These are all items that are not from your land. Bishlama Resh Lakish, Gaga Gaglo Kasha. For Resh Lakish, it's not a problem. Roof on roof is not a question. Hag Begag Demara, Behag Begag Debait. That is, one of them is the roof of a cave, and one of them is the roof of your house. The roof of the cave is parallel to the ground, because the cave is underground, and therefore it's the ground, it is the aretz that you're growing on. Gag of your bait is not considered to be the aretz. Churva, churva lo kasha, kan bechurva avuda, kan bechurva shein avuda. It depends on what's done there. Is it a churva where you worked the land and you planted it, and therefore these are reshit bikurim, or is it a churva that is just overgrown, and there happen to be things that grow there? Is it considered to be bikurim or not? Atzitza, atzitz lo kasha. A planting plot on a planting plot is not a kasha. Kan bin nikuva. If it has a hole in it, it's considered to be attached to the ground, and therefore it's artzicha. Kan b'she'enu nikuva. Here, it doesn't have a hole in it, it's considered to be separate from the ground. Sfina, sfina lo kasha. Kan b'sfina shel eitz. Kan b'sfina shel cheres. One has to do with a boat made out of wood, and one is a boat that is made out of clay. In Miyuchas Rashi writes, Sfina shel cheres mevi v'koreh, mishum deshel eretzi. The earthenware boat is considered to be the land of Israel because it comes from the earth of Israel. It's made out of, the raw material was out of Eretz Yisrael. It's a classification like Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the wood. The Bali Tosafot takes serious issue with this because intuitively you would have think that Kli Cheres is not so porous and therefore it's not considered to be a part of the land, whereas Eitz is more porous and therefore it's considered to be a part of the land. The Bali and Tosafot take much more time dealing with this. And Tosafot says the reason over here, it doesn't say Havah Me'eitz. Both of them are wooden boats. Hadenikiva, Adelonikiva. One of them has a hole, one doesn't have a hole. Because you know what happens to a boat that has a hole in it, then it won't be a boat anymore. But he says that that explanation that's brought here in the Miuchas Rashi is problematic because in all the other answers that it gave, it always gave the answer that made it into Eretz first. And the one that says that it's not there, it's in the second one. Over here, the way he's explaining it, then Shel Eitz is the one that's not Eretz, and Shel Cheres is Eretz, and it's the exact opposite of all the other examples that are brought over here. Then the Rabbeinu Tam makes a suggestion that when you have a hole in a Kli Cheres, then it is helpful. It makes it Mechubar the Karka. Whereas a hole in an Eitz doesn't help you at all. And even though these are boats and having a hole in them would be problematic, he says that the earth or what's contained in them plugs the hole, and therefore they're not a problem for sinking. And that's why you would suggest over here that a Kli Cheres is mechubar because it has a nekev in it. Whereas the eitz, even with a nekev in it, is not mechubar. And then Tosfot finally brings what we would have possibly thought would be the answer over here, which is, Ayah Ragil Rabbeinu Tam Lefereish, Dibshal Eitz, Afilu Nikiva Lo Bayi, Eitz, you don't even need to have a hole in it. Dimitlachlech minakarka yoter mishal cheres. Because it gets moister, it's more impacted by the ground or by the water that is there, more than a kli cheres, which is less porous. The wood is more porous, absorbs more water, and therefore the wood is something that would be considered to be attached to the ground, whereas cheres would not be attached to the ground. And then that way, it's in the same order as all the other items, which is the Sfina Shel Eitz is the one that is considered Mechubar the Karka, and then Sfina Shel Cheres is the one that's not considered to be Mechubar the Karka. And then the Bali Tosafot go on to explain about the Gemara in Gittin, which discusses different scenarios with the boats. Are they grounded? Are the boats floating in the water? That would make a difference as well, meaning that if it's floating in the water, it's less likely to be considered Mechubar the Karka versus if it's beached on the side there and actually sitting in the ground, where it may be considered attached. Does it have a hole in it? Does it not have a hole in it? And there's this very large Tosafot that's trying to discuss both the Gemara and Gittin and then try to reconcile it with what we have over here. So now, according to Reish Lakish, all of this makes sense because Reish Lakish says, b'diavad, you can bring bikurim from subpar locations. So one bright is talking about the Chatzchila, and therefore you say, bring the bikurim and you say the mikra bikurim. The other items are subpar locations and not really artzacha. But b'diavad, you can bring them,
And since you can bring them b'diavad, you bring them and aren't correct. El Rabbi Yochanan kashum. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when you have subpar locations, you don't bring them at all. Then how do you explain this stira in the Braita? Mar says, Tanayehi. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eni malachanami, it's a machloket Tanaim. The Tanya, Shibagag, Shibachurva, mevi v'kore. Shibatzitz, Shibisvina, Eno mevi kol ikar. So we have Braita that says that by Gag and Churva, you bring them and you read. And here you see there's a Tana that says, Eno mevi kol ikar. There's a third opinion that says you don't bring them at all. And Rabbi Yochanan will subscribe to that position that says you don't bring them at all. Subpar locations are not bikurim, period. And therefore, these areas are not good, just like the Tmarim Shibaharim and these other locations, Lokidesh, they don't become bikurim, and you don't bring them and you don't read Mikra bikurim. This brightness seems to indicate there's a difference between Gag and Churva, where everybody conceives them to be Artzecha, versus the Atzitz and the Sfina, where they're not considered to be Artzecha. So that's why before we noted that maybe the question was only from the two and not from the all four of them, because over here this only answers two of the problems for Rabbi Yochanan, all of them. The Baalei Tosafot think that all four of them are a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, and all the way along it was all four of them that we were discussing. And he proves that from the fact when the Gemara says, Bishma the Reish Lakish, it's not a problem, and it answers all four of them as Lokasha, Lokasha, which shows you that each one of them would have been a problem. And in that way, the Baalei Tosafot would say, you only have an answer for two of the issues for Rabbi Yochanan. The other two still remain a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. B'chulan, eino ba'ol dela minu muvchar. Our Mishnah says that you have to bring them from the best locations, and it enumerates the best locations in Eretz Yisrael. Best locations were Machnis and Zatcha. And then it says the second tier was Aforayim, or the way that Rashi in the Taviyat has it, Kaforayim, was a place that were great for wheat. Now the Gemara brings something that's correlated, which is Amri Le, Yochana Umamre. Yochana and Mamre are the Chartumei Mitzrayim. They are Balek Shafim in Mitzrayim. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Teven Ata Machnis Laforayim, you're bringing in straw to Aforayim. Aforayim is the place that was mentioned in our Mishnah. And what they're saying is, Aforayim, which is famous for its grains and for its wheat, you're bringing outside produce into there? Why would you bring outside produce into a place which prides itself on its produce and its production? It's meaningless, worthless. You're not going to make money bringing outside produce into a place who has the highest quality product. And that's what they say to Moshe Rabbeinu. When he starts doing all the simanim that Hashem tells him to bring, they say to him, you're bringing in magic to the land of magic? What do you think you're going to do here? This is the land of the Chartumim and the Kshafim. You're going to become the Baal Kshifa Gdolah here? I mean, then who are you to bring in magic into the land of magic? Amar Lo, Moshe responds to them, and as Miuchas Rashi notes, their question is not a real question, and Moshe's answer is not a real answer, but he's answering them the Fishitatam, which is, Amar Lo, Amre Inche, the Mata Yarka, Yarka Shokul, to the place where there's lots of vegetables, bring your vegetables to sell. The place where there are lots of vegetables, people come to buy vegetables. So then, if they're going to come to buy vegetables there and you want to sell your vegetables, bring them to a place that has lots of vegetables. So Zodu, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you want to demonstrate your skill as a magician, you got to come to a place where there are Balei Kshafim, Balei Chartumim, because otherwise it's not a big deal to do magic in other places. Do magic in Mitzrayim, then you're a serious magician in that place. So that's Moshe's response to them. This is brought because of the mention of Aforayim, saying that Aforayim is a place that they use in the folk saying and the mashal that says that that's a place that's renowned for its grains. And that's what the Mishnah said. That's one of those locations that is Min HaMufchar, that's renowned for its grains. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Aleph.